The Holy Gospel according to John, the 18th chapter. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. It's wonderful to see you all here. I'm grateful to be here again with you. A lot of hopeful messaging in the scripture today, in the text that we heard. Christ the King, right? So today's text out of John offers us a lot to work through. I think it's more than just one sermon's worth, but hopefully you're willing to stick with me through the parts that I couldn't let go of. Jesus says, and I've edited out some of the words here, and also just to let you know, this is a slightly different translation than what's in the bulletin. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not from this realm. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." For brief context, this is just prior to his crucifixion. Jesus is facing the Roman governor of Judea, the one who has the power to keep or to end his life, at least legally. Meaning he is face to face with a high-ranking oppressor who asks him to define his crime, when instead he defines his purpose in life, knowing that it is about to end, in the flesh anyway. "My kingdom is not of this realm." What does that mean? The kingdom of God is not of this realm. As we look around us today, so many questions arise from that statement. Where do I, as followers of Christ, as Christians, fit into this kingdom of truth that he speaks of? What is different about this world versus the realm Christ talks about? There's probably a very long list that each of us could speak of. So the question is, is this kingdom, this different realm, is this a new bandwagon we're supposed to jump on? Or are there particular convictions that are going to lead us into this kingdom? How far-reaching does this kingdom go? Does this go into political arenas? I mean, certainly this was true. This is what Jesus was drug into here in today's passage. Does this reach into educational systems, into justice systems, into financial systems? Kingdom of God into financial systems? It's an interesting concept. Does it reach into our personal relationships? Relationships maybe that we are afraid to confront. I'm going to repeat, "My kingdom is not of this realm. For this I have been born." For that moment, he's speaking to Pilate. "For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth." So the truth is easy to talk about up here, but it is much harder to do. Truth has consequences, right? In truth, in speaking truth, you will make people angry. You will hurt their feelings. You may risk relationship. You will disrupt systems that have been in place for a very long time. If we think about the kingdom of God as it's reflected in the life of Jesus, and we then reflect on, all right, so what was it about the life of Jesus that spoke about this eternal kingdom, right? It's so different than what we experience somehow here in the world, on the earth. If we do, not only will we see that, yes, there are consequences that are difficult, but we will also not be able to ignore brokenness around us, because there's a lot of it. We will call out the injustices, and we will give voice to those that have lost it or maybe have never had it. We will see things that the world does not see. The world does not recognize our vulnerability like Jesus did. The world does not offer us unconditional love and acceptance like Jesus did. Jesus is saying, what you see, that's not it. That's not all. There is so much more. There's so much more than we can see and than we can know. But what we do hear from Jesus is, quote, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So I'm going to do a little bit of a sidecar here, only because, and this is not linear, but these are conversations that have just come up frequently and that recently for me, both with clients but also personally. If we are to approach the kingdom of God, right, we, on some level, we have an expectation of being able to commune with God, to hear from God, to communicate on some level, to experience, right? Many conversations, many theological discussions over the years, and divisions, for sure, about the human experience of the divine have been had, and they continue to go on. We debate about this all the time. It does seem that there are often more questions and uncertainty than concrete and decisive answers. And yet, we are all here this morning. We Christians vary on how much of humanity we believe God's grace and voice may cover, or how that happens. But Jesus isn't really mincing words here when he says that everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. I like to think that as diverse as God's creation is, as diverse as we are, so is his interaction with us and the incarnation, essentially, of the kingdom, of this realm that Jesus speaks of. We talk a lot in church about discernment and prayer and meditation as ways to access the divine, and yes, absolutely. But I also like to think that there are the inner workings of us, being our longings, our intuitions, our deep curiosities, that those are also divinely placed within us, and that those are oftentimes the voice of the divine. It's interesting because my sister and I are nothing alike. She's way smarter than I am. And we have had multiple debates on this. She's much more of an intellectual than I am. I'm the feeler. I'm a therapist, so I have all the feels. And so my experience of God has been very different than hers. And so we have wrestled with this, like, well, why do you get that experience and I get this one? Is one more valid than the other? Not at all. Not at all. And I value those conversations because I think it's broadened both of our perspectives of how different God can be and how uniquely present God can be because of who he's created us to be. Last but not least, and hopefully I got all my tears out of the first service, but forgive me if I didn't. This realm, this kingdom, is a hopeful place. It's permanent. That's what Scripture told us today, this morning. It's permanent. It's eternal. It's here. It's within us. It's around us. And I take hope in that. Because if there's any day that these words are of consolation, for me it is today. After today's services, I will be going directly to the Alki bathhouse to grieve the loss and celebrate the life of a good family friend who, at the tender age of 25, after a broken relationship, and for the first time, was not a drug user, never had been, but took two Percocet to go to sleep to ease his mind, and he never woke up. I'm sure you guys have heard how so much is being laced with fentanyl these days, and that's exactly what happened to him. I think about this broken heart, his broken heart, and where God's kingdom was in his pain. Because as hopeful and as powerful as God's kingdom is, it has to be in every part of our experience, including our pain and our suffering. And I think about where God's kingdom is right now for his loved ones, where it's going to emerge in their healing, because it will. Everyone who is of truth hears my voice. So today we choose to trust these words of Jesus and know that we are being pursued by eternal love. We are being pursued by this kingdom. Amen.